Welcome to a full after-hours show. Ron Rappaport, one of the best writers this town has ever known, since leaving the Sun-Times some years ago to write for the LA Daily News, he has turned out a remarkable series of incredibly readable, entertaining, and enlightening books. The latest is titled Frank Chance's Diamond, The Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner. He edited this book, and he is on the phone from, I'm assuming, a very warm but maybe wet West Coast. Ron, how are you?
I'm good, Rick, and it's wet more than warm at the moment. The rain is really coming down. Maybe you've heard about our little...
Yes, everybody hears about California weather. Let me ask you before, you're going to be on for 45 minutes today, so I want to know what before we get into Ring Lardner, what drew you to sports, Ron Rappaport?
Well, it's funny, Rick, the story I have is I started writing for my high school paper and my college paper, sports. I knew what I wanted to be when I was 14 years old.
Wow.
And I never grew up.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
Wow.
I've never really looked back, and it's been a great ride.
Well, no kidding. You and my next guest, I'm going to keep you for a few minutes later on in the show to just cross-talk with him, Rick Tellender. He has a book, too. But you have had you have been a sort of steady stream of books have come out of you since you moved to the coast. You've written about Bobby Jones. You've written about Ernie Banks. You've written about Tom Dreesen and his buddy Tim. Yeah. Ring Lardner really has grabbed you, hasn't it? And I want people to know. I think the name, you write in the book, Ron Rappaport, Lardner's ubiquity in print made him one of the most famous people in the United States, on a par with Calvin Coolidge, Charles Lindbergh, and Babe Ruth. I think because Ring Lardner wrote a lot for newspapers, he also wrote a lot of books, that name is not, I think if I went out on the street and said, hey, first person I met, who's Ring Lardner, they wouldn't know, would they?
No, you're absolutely right. My brother, by the way, just wrote a book about Patty Hearst, and it's the same thing he's finding. Patty who?
Yeah, I have that book at home. Roger, yeah.
Yeah, it's the 50th anniversary of the kidnapping today. But no, it's true. Rick was, Ring was very much a man of his time. The thing about it, though, is that we remember him as the author of Gulliver's Travels, You Know Me, Al, Champion, Alibi Ike, the great short stories. Whereas the truth is that he really had parallel careers. He was a journalist all his life.
Sure.
Now, after he left Chicago, he moved to Great Neck, Long Island, and wrote a weekly column for the Bell Syndicate that was in about close to 100 papers and read by 8 or 9 million people.
Wow.
So that's what made him so famous, plus the fact that his caricature was out there. For instance, one year, the Indianapolis Star ran a caricature of Ring and said that announcing that he was going to cover the World Series for them. But all they ran was a caricature, and they said, no need to introduce this guy.
That's amazing.
That's
like Twitter, but more famous before there was even Twitter to make him famous. He was also, you know, what occurs to me, and this book's a real revelation. It's the second book you've done about devoted to Ring Lardner. And one of the fascinating things, which goes to sort of the wicked history of the idiocy of some Tribune editors, when he was writing for the Tribune, he was the person who really gave life to In the Wake of the News, that was a relatively new column at the time. One of the editors said, hey, maybe you'd like to write something kind of feature story for the paper. He, of course, said yes. He, of course, did that. And this, maybe he's not nameless, and if you want to, you can name him. This idiot editor said, oh, no, there's bad words and spelling and bad things here. We're not going to run this. That became the foundation of You Know Me, Al, a monstrous bestseller. Does that follow in the tradition of idiot editors that you've known over the years, too?
Pretty much, yeah. What he wanted was a longer story. I think it could be a feature section or maybe a magazine at that time. Something different from the kind of coverage we were doing even in the column, Wake of the News column. So he sent him this story based on a kind of vain, silly but very good baseball player named Jack Keith.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, he turned it down vernacular and very strange, and you talk about odd things here. So Ring licked his wound, sent it off to the Saturday Evening Post, where they published it immediately, and it became a sensation. And people, readers around the country wanted more. And that became the stories collected in You Know Meow.
Well, and I think about it is, one of the things about it is that give me, Ron Rappaport, a sense of, which you do in the book, but give the listeners a sense of what was the sports writing, newspaper sports writing world like at the time Lardner joined it? And why did he distinguish himself so boldly?
Well, one of the things I do in the book is try to give show the range of what he wrote for
instance.
Early in his days covering the Cubs, and these were the Tinkers to Evers to Chance Cubs.
Right,
you know,
right.
They were very, you know, this is the early 1913, 1914, really good teams. And he was writing game stories, hits, runs, and errors, and which was the tradition then back in an era where there wasn't even any radio.
Right.
And if you wanted to, so you had to write everything. And Ring even then distinguished himself. You could see that he was made for better things. He was writing wonderful articles about Christy Mathewson and some of the Cub players that read very well today. You could see that he was going on to other things. Well, now they give him the column, Winkleman's column, and all bets are off. He's now writing poetry. He's using vernacular.
Exactly.
He's writing letters back to his bosses. He's writing, sending up wartime propaganda, all in the guise of baseball coverage. And it really, in a way, nobody's ever done anything like that before, certainly, with him.
You know, one of the things, even though, you know, just before you won, there started in, I think, about 2002, a organization here called the Ring Lardner Award for Excellence in Sports Journalism, and you were a recipient just before your first Ring Lardner book came out. What was it, Ron Rappaport, that drew you? Did you, were you trying to give him his due? Did you realize, wait a minute, this guy should be more famous, this guy? What is it that drew you to that first book and then now this book?
Well, I guess fair is fair. Yeah, the other book was longer. It was his writing on not only baseball and,
sure,
and boxing, which he loved to cover, but also politics and his family and life on Long Island and all the rest of it. This one I covered just the baseball. But the answer to the question is that I found myself reading an article about the Ring Lardner Centennial, mm-hmm, in the New York Times. It was many years before I was reading the article. And his grandson, James, just sort of threw away the idea that his journalism had never been collected, unlike his
poetry,
which has been collected many times. And I kind of thought that, well, that's odd. And I called James up, and his sister Susan, Ring's granddaughter, and I said, would you mind if I tried to collect this stuff? They said, no, we'd like you to do that. So I found myself reading 100-year-old newspapers.
Wow.
Joliet and Boise and Omaha and all the cities that Ring's columns had appeared in. And it was really kind of a treasure hunt after that, finding articles, Rick, that I don't think had been read since the day they'd been published.
Oh, my God.
Years ago or more.
What a
so
thrill.
It was really fun.
What a thrill for you.
Get into that world.
What a
and
real.
You're right. I'd come back for more now.
No one in the world, no one in the world would blame you, Ron. Ron Rappaport is here all the way till a quarter to the hour. He's in California. We will talk more about this. He will explain the title to you, too, which is a fascinating, great story. The title is Frank Chance's Diamond, The Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner. We'll be back with the editor and author, Ron Rappaport, in a couple minutes. Ron Rappaport can deservedly have the title of the Keeper of the Flame of Ring Lardner. There is no one I can think of, and not even in Mr. Lardner's extended family, which is now grandkids and great-grandkids, who is more devoted to keeping this remarkable, remarkable journalist alive. Ron, you also do a wonderful job. The collection is fabulous to read, but you also do a wonderful job of putting him in his place. And I love, and it's not apocryphal at all, there was a young kid growing up in the western suburbs of Chicago when Lardner was writing for the Tribune who was so enamored of this guy that he decided to call himself Ring Lardner Jr. when he wrote about sports for the Oak Park River Forest High School paper. Who was that guy?
Well, a fellow named Ernest Hemingway did that. He was obviously a teenager when Lardner was in his was writing in Chicago, and he just loved him, and so he would sign his articles. Ring Lardner Jr. also, Rick, talking about fans of Lardner.
Sure.
Across the sea, there was a writer who didn't know, you know, the polo grounds from Buckingham Palace. Her name was Virginia Woolf, and she was a fan of Lardner.
I know that.
He's a remarkable writer, even though the language he uses isn't quite English.
I know. It's just the whole notion that this man was, in his time, as famous as, you know, Charles Lindbergh and Babe Ruth. That is pretty rarefied company. As you read the voluminous gathering of Lardner's material, what did you think of him, Ron Rappaport, as a writer, and more specifically, as a sports writer, which has been your calling most of your career?
Well, as a writer, he was certainly all over the place, writing this astonishing fiction, which is still in public in print. I once saw John Lithgow, the great actor, act out Haircut, probably his most anthologized story, on the stage, and that was something to see.
Oh, I'm sure.
He just seemed to be doing everything. Jonathan Yardley, the Pulitzer Prize-winning critic who wrote his biography, said the fact that Ring's journalism, all the time he was writing his stories, the fact that it remained such high quality has to be one of the great accomplishments in all of American journalism.
Yeah,
I saw that. I saw that. I could see that he kept doing different things. He was always looking at a different way to get at stories, and he just, his imagination was just so fertile. He was just keeping trying to do, what am I going to do today that's different from what I did yesterday? And that's what made collecting these articles so much fun to me, so interesting.
Did he, when you were a young sports writer, was he a shadow on your work or not really?
I don't think I ever read him much. Of course,
interesting.
I knew his name.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I read him much until later. I'm sure I read the story.
Oh, of course, we all did, yeah.
I read, you know, Al. You know me, Al. I read Haircut. I read Champion, and I saw the movie with Kirk Douglas, all of that. So he was a presence. But the idea, what interested me so much, is that he was also a journalist his entire life. Rick, he started writing for the South Bend Tribune when he was still a teenager. And his final journalism when he died, and before he died at the age of 42, he was writing radio criticism for The New Yorker.
Wow.
He might have been the first media critic in American journalism. He was writing about Jack Benny, things like that.
Wow.
And it was fun to read that. I mean, he just kept writing and writing and writing. And you wonder where he got the time. I mean, he had four kids. He was a member of the Algonquin
Round Table, and he drank and smoked.
He called himself a two-bottle man, and by that he meant two bottles a day.
Yeah.
Accounted for the fact that he died so young. But he just never seemed to stop. It was amazing to me.
Well, he was born in Niles, Michigan to a family that was fairly well-to-do. He was, I think, if memory serves, the last of nine children. And he had a series of jobs at which he wasn't very successful until he turned to sports writing. What do you think drew him, Ron Rappaport, to the world of sports?
Well, the story goes that an editor had come to town looking for his brother, who had established himself as a writer. And the brother was out of town, and Ring said, "How about me?" And the guy, and he said, "Well, have you ever written before?" And he said, "I kind of stretched the truth, told him that I had." It turned out, he went to South Bend, and he wrote not just sports. They had him writing everything, theater, breaking news, and it was really a great education for a young journalist.
Yeah,
he'd
yeah.
done that for a couple of years. But I think what drew him to sports is he realized that would get into Chicago more quickly.
Yeah.
And he became friends with Hugh Fullerton, the great Chicago sports writer. And Fullerton took a shine to him and got him not one job in the next few years, but two, including the job that took at the Tribune, where Fullerton himself was was working. I just think Ring was attracted to the people, the players who he soon started writing in their names, writing stories in their names, writing dialogue. And they loved it. The Cubs of that era had some fabulous characters who loved the fact that Ring sort of took over their voices and made them into characters themselves. That's not something that would happen today very often.
No, but the story of his getting in the business is sort of reminds me of the way Mike Royko got in the business, of kind of bluffing his way onto a newspaper by saying he had been on a newspaper. I love that. You know, one of the real joys of your latest book, Frank Chance's Diamond: The Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner, is you've introduced me, and the book introduces me, and Ring Lardner introduces me to a bunch of players I've never, ever heard of. You know, I never heard of Peaches Graham. I never heard of Heinie Zimmerman. That must have been so enjoyable for you, because this is a real cast of characters, isn't it?
No, they really are. Jimmy Sheckard, Frank Schulte. They all had nicknames. Ring wrote about them, and I think they gave him stories that Ring embellished. They liked being around him.
Yeah.
He liked being around them. And that was an era when the ball players, of course, they traveled by train.
Totally accessible. Yeah.
Really got to know each other. And they liked his sense of humor. He liked theirs. And pretty soon he was writing them. He was writing all kinds of things about them. My favorite story is when this running gag he had with Heinie Zimmerman, who you were talking about, great third baseman for the Cubs, but he had terrible temper and was always getting thrown out of games. So Ring pretended that somebody was betting him $100 to stay in the game, not to get thrown out. And the beautiful part of it is that the baseball bought into it. Bill Clem, the famous umpire, tore a $100 bill in half before the game started in the ceremony. And then Ring starts writing, using Tennyson as his muse. Half a C, half a C, half a C, 100. Cut from the other half a big 100. Forward the cover game. I mean, who could do stuff like that?
No.
Then 2 weeks later,
nobody could. Yeah, nobody could.
A poem called Heinie Soliloquy. To see or not to see, that is the question. Whether it's just an over for the dough to suffer mistakes and errors of outrageous umpires.
Ron, before we take a break, for news, tell the listeners the meaning of the title, Frank Chance's Diamond at the Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner. What's the reference?
When Ring moved to Great Neck, Long Island, he fell in with another resident of that great city, F. Scott Fitzgerald, and they became bosom buddies. They hung out together. They drank together. Fitzgerald went to Maxwell Perkins, the great editor, and said, "You've got to start collecting Ring stories that had never been collected." And Ring, who had never kept copies and didn't know where they'd been, Perkins had to go through a treasure hunt through the various magazines, but finally he did it. I mean, he was really... And Ring and his wife adored Zelda. So the four of them hung out together. They were pals. All right, now Ring dies. And Fitzgerald writes a very affectionate piece that ends quite surprisingly, quite nasty, to you.
Yeah.
During these years when most men are promised to achieve an adult education, if only in the school of war, Ring moves into company a few dozen illiterates playing a boy's game. A boy's game with no more possibilities in it than a boy could master a game branded by walls, which kept out novelty or danger, change or adventure. However deeply Ring might cut into it, his cake had the diameter of Frank Chance's diamond.
Wow, that's just a great...
Well, as I say, that's mean... And it's, it's very well written.
Yeah, it's jealous, too, a little bit. It's a little jealous, too.
But it's kind of true.
Yeah,
There's been a debate over the years about whether Ring, by not attempting to write the great American novel, pushed his own status in American canon down a little bit. Because Ring didn't care.
Well,
he
certainly,
right now,
but the other thing is, I get it, and I appreciate that from him. We got to take a break, but we'll come back and talk some more with Ron Rappaport, whose book, Frank Chance's Diamond, the Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner, is a joyful and enlightening entertainment. We'll be back. It is difficult for me to describe without being completely hyperbolic how enjoyable this latest book by Ron Rappaport is. Frank Chance's Diamond, the Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner. Ringlardner is wildly entertaining. It does not matter if you like sports or not. His worldview, focused on the world of sports, is compelling and always entertaining. And it's nicely embellished by Ron's vast knowledge of Ringlardner. You wrote a magnificent book about someone we all know and who will sort of be immortal here. Called Let's Play 2, The Legend of Mr. Cub, The Life of Ernie Banks. What level of joy was that for you to do, Ron?
It was really great. You know, I think I told you once that it started as a book with the two of us, as told to, or I was going to be the co-author.
Yep.
And Ernie was really interested, except when he wasn't. He kept saying, okay, let's do it. And then pretty soon we got to talk to my lawyer. 6 months later, he called to, you know, what about the book? And I, you know, go back to the publisher. Yeah, sure. Okay, but you got to. His wife at the time, Liz, told me that Ernie liked the idea of writing a book.
Uh-huh.
But when he died, I wrote a magazine piece in Chicago Magazine.
Sure.
About the frustrations and about the Ernie who I'd come to know who was different from the caricature that he promoted. And next thing you know, I was writing a book.
Yeah.
And it was great fun. I was just talking to Jeff Sando, Ron Sando's son, who's out here. And he was talking about it, about his memories of Ernie and his dad and things like that. And it brought back to me all over again, immersing myself in the world of the Cubs of that era and of Ernie's earlier days growing up in a poor, segregated part of Dallas, and all that I had learned about the time and his family what it was like, you know. Rick Ernie didn't talk, really have a conversation with a white man until he went into the Army.
I know. I remember.
It was kind of interesting learning all that. Yeah.
Let me ask you now, back to this fabulous book here, and you can just go, ladies and gentlemen, that's one of the upsides of the internet, is you can just Google the name Ron Rappaport, Rappoport, and see all of his books. This could it be argued persuasively, Ron Rappaport, that Ringlardner wrote the first, and it's not really a novel, but you know Miel's, a series of letters home from a pitcher on the road. Can that be considered the first baseball novel?
Yeah, it's the first. Well, it's certainly the first novel to use baseball as a literary subject.
Yeah.
And there are those who will tell you that it's still the best. I mean, you know, a lot of great writers have taken their hands up. Vernon Malamud, Philip Roth, and Mark Harris. And,
sure.
And Robert Coover and others. And they're all really interesting. But to read You Know Me, Al, again, you realize what he has done here.
Yeah.
He's not, it's not only vastly entertaining, but it's incredibly important in terms of showing what can be done. And I think everybody who follows writing baseball fiction is sort of wants to go on writing baseball fiction. You sort of have to start with Ring and with Jack Keith, and You Know Me, Al.
You really do punctuate that opinion with this book, because I found it. I was like, okay, I'll read a few of these old ancient stories, and I had a hard time putting the book down. I got to tell you, until I had finished them,
you know what's interesting is sometimes it's hard to tell where Ring's journalism leaves off and the stories begin. You can see parallels.
Sure,
you can see things that will later become part of the stories, or vice versa, because Ring was writing the fiction very early in his days at the Tribune.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
Later he continues the journalism. So the stories have been written, and now you see parallels in the stories to what was in the journalism to what was in the stories. It's kind of a fascinating back and forth there.
Yeah, you must be terribly, terribly pleased with this. And pleased. How's his family? He had a very interesting family. His son was, you know, Ringlardner Jr. was blacklisted and then won a couple Academy Awards. I mean, it's a great, you know what it is, Ron Rappaport, it's just a great American story, I feel.
Well, I agree. And his other son, John Lardner, became a great sports writer.
Right.
In his own right. Wrote for Newsweek for many years. And his, his grandson, Jim, is writing a lot of articles. Sometimes they show up in the New Yorker online about ecology, that kind of thing. And Susan, I'm still in touch with her. She wrote for the New Yorker for a long time. So it's a very chosy literate family.
Well, I'd like you, if you could, to hold on while we get your old pal Rick Tallender's in Florida, doing something in Florida. I don't know what he's doing in Florida, but I would love the two of you. I would love to have the two of you say hello in a couple minutes, if you can hang on.
Sure, you bet.
Wonderful. Thanks, Ron. We'll be back in a couple minutes. It is not my job as the host of this fine After Hours radio show to play matchmaker, but I just wanted to take the opportunity for two old pals to say hello to one another. Ron Rappaport, you've just been listening to talk about his fabulous book, Frank Chance's Dime in the Baseball Journalism of Ring Lardner. And on the other coast, Ron is in California, and on the other coast is Rick Tallender, who's going to talk until 6:30 about his new book, A Sweet Dreams, Poems and Paintings for the Child of Bed. Okay, you old friend, say hello to one another.
Hello, Rick.
Hey, Rap.
How are you?
You there, bud?
Not to be in Chicago, either one of
you. You know what? I got to tell you, I was looking at something. You were a columnist for the Sun-Times for over 20 years. I've now been there, let me think, 28 years? We've been there for a half a century, and I don't think we overlapped for a day. So,
that's
either amazing or terrifying or something. But
I think
to hear from you, Rap.
Yeah, I think you two guys, are sort of following the footsteps of Ring Lardner, because you both are wonderfully prolific, and you write for the joy and love of writing. And one day, Ron, when you get to town, when you come up here, and who would come here in February, but next time you're up here, we will gather at some place where journalists used to gather and share memories. I'm just glad you guys got to say it. Pardon me?
Are those places still left anyway?
There's, and the Billy Goat is still there, and it doesn't attract the crowd that it used to attract. But Rick and I know the way, and we'll show you how to get back there, Ron. Ron, thanks a million, and good luck with the book. It's really fabulous.
Thank you.
It's really fabulous. Thanks for staying on to say hi to Rick.
Yeah, you bet.